Often when God tells us to be still, he means for us to be at peace, not to panic, not to act rashly. No matter how you feel about a problem, your feelings aren't going to change the circumstance.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is The Remedy for Tension. It was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The remedy for tension. The remedy for tension. How many of you know that yoga only goes so far? Motivational talks only go so far. But that there is a remedy for tension. Now, I was talking to somebody, and they were telling me how they've got an illness in their body that's not even real. It's caused by tension. You can get backaches, neck aches, skin rashes, anxiety, panic attacks, all sorts of things from tension. But did you know that there's a remedy for tension? Tension is a real thing. It affects you for real. So let's go through the remedy for tension. The remedy for tension, our key verse is going to be Psalm 3. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. Psalm 3 is titled, Save Me, O My God. It's a psalm of King David, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. How many of you guys in here know that King David was attacked by his own son, Absalom? His own son was coming up against him. Can you believe that? His own son, Absalom, was attacking him, was trying to take his kingdom from him. How many of you have had a friend or a loved one try to take something from you? It's no good, is it? It creates a lot of tension, doesn't it? A lot of anxiety. And you don't understand why you're being attacked by somebody who's supposed to be loving you. King David must have been feeling all of this because it was his son. But look, here's what he wrote. Oh Lord, how many are my foes? See, Absalom wasn't just the only one after him. He had people coming after his own father. Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God, Salah. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill, Salah. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people, Salah. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, for your word. I pray that you will anoint me to speak it, God. And I pray that you will open all of our hearts to receive. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, God. Amen. I want to tell you that David was in a lot of trouble. But he knew his God was bigger than his trouble. Some of you are in trouble today. And some of you see that God is raised up against your enemies. Listen, David went through some hard times, but he trusted in God. And God got him through. Tension, headaches, nervous stomachs, and spastic colons are signs of the times. In Psalm 3, King David had reason for all three, having been driven from his palace by rebel forces commanded by his very own son, Absalom. See 2 Samuel verses, chapters 15 and 18 through 18. Yet he found a remedy for tension, God. Listen, it's not only getting the victory through your storm, it's how you get the victory, how you feel about it, your faith as you go through it, right? Sometimes the only thing the enemy wants to do to you is make you feel upset and make you react. The remedy for tension. First of all, storms will blow in. Storms will blow in, right? You can expect them, can't you? Listen, in our psalm, our key verse, verses 1 and 2, David said, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Do you understand what's going on? His own enemies are saying God can't help you. They're mocking God. Man, you can't, man, look. I'm your enemy, and I'm more powerful than you and your God. That's what they're trying to tell this man. People often try to tell us that too, don't they? When they come up against us. I'm not afraid of you or your God. Well, they ought to be. They better be. David's critics claim not even God could help him. You know, Satan does that to us today. He will whisper in your ear, God is not going to save you. God is not going to help you. God doesn't love you. God doesn't care. God can't get you out of this one. Right? He's your critic. Satan is your critic. Sometimes despair can lead us to feel like God can't or won't help us. That's Satan's game, to get you to feel as if God is not going to help you. Your feelings get in the way of your faith, and you will start doing things according to your feelings and not according to your faith. When you feel like doing something, it may not be the faith that God has asked you to exercise. You might feel like screaming at your neighbor. You might feel like hurting your enemy. But your faith will tell you something different. While hanging on the cross, Jesus asked, why has God forsaken him? Now, he knew that God did not forsake him, but he could not feel the presence of God because the presence of God at that moment had withdrew from Jesus because Jesus became sin for us. And he felt like God had forsaken him. It was a question, not a statement. When everything goes wrong, we can feel like it will never get better, and it can feel like everyone, including God, has left us. How many of you have had that feeling that not even God is with you? The whole world's crashing down, and you can't even feel God. I'm talking about feelings. I'm talking about feelings, how we feel. Feelings led David to write this psalm, but faith led him to proclaim God in it. If we are not careful, our despair can dampen our faith in God. David did not allow his despair to affect his faith. You're going to have problems in life. You're going to have trials and tribulations. But understand that there is a God, and that he does love and care about you. Your job and your only job in the kingdom of God is what? To believe on the one whom he sent. That's what Jesus tells us. We have one job, to believe. To believe. Now, if you're right with God through Jesus Christ, then God before you. And if God is for you, what can man do to you? Nothing without God's permission. Number two, despair looks down, but faith looks up. Despair looks down, but faith looks up. Psalm 3, verses 3 and 4 says, but you, O Lord, I love it when somebody says, but God, right? But you, O Lord, are a shield about me. What does a shield do? It protects you. It reflects the advancements of the enemy. It reflects the attacks of the enemy. That's right. It brings comfort because you are safe. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. See, when you have faith, your head is lifted up because God will lift your head up. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. See, listen, God is not so far away that he can't hear you. He is on a holy hill now. He is above, but not so far that he can't hear you. And David said, I cried. I cried to the Lord. Some of us cry to our friends. Some of us cry to our mommy and our daddy. But only God can answer prayers that nobody else can help you with. There are some things that people can't get you out of. There's some things that only God can lift your head up high and bring you through. I love that. And he answered me. He answered me. He answered David. Because David had faith in the grace of God. David had faith in the grace of God. And he was given grace. That's true. Our response to trials should be one of faith, remembering that God is our shield. Listen, when something comes up against you, this is your opportunity to show your faith and to build your faith. God is trying to test your faith so that he can build it stronger. Whenever we scrape our arm, our leg, or our skin open, we get a scar on it. It gets thicker, doesn't it? So that we don't get hurt again. Whenever the Lord puts us through a trial or a tribulation, what's happening? He's making us a little stronger in faith. He's also teaching us that if we did something to get ourselves into that trial or tribulation, because sometimes we make a mistake, right? Sometimes we're disobedient. He teaches us through that trial and tribulation, don't do that again. You better watch it. I love you, but you are accountable. You are responsible for your actions. David remembered who kept him. See, David remembered who kept him. Far too often, we forget who keeps us. Far too often, we think, it's my job, it's my talent, it's my smarts, it's a combination of all of them. David knew that only God kept him. David leaned on God's strength to get him through and not his own. Listen, the moment you start counting your resources, the moment you start counting your strength is the moment you are trying to do it on your own. And I've seen Christians come to God with the guilt complex. I'm so sorry I failed you, God. I'm so sorry I let you down. And the whole time God is saying, wait a minute. You were never the one that was supposed to do it in the first place. I didn't ask you to try to do it. I asked you to lean on me. I asked you to let me to be your strength. Of course you failed. My son's already got the victory. King David, he leaned on God's strength to get him through. When we look to ourselves to solve life's hardest trials, we often faint. We must keep our eyes fixed on our shield. Peter looked at the waves when he was walking on the water. He looked away from Jesus and he looked at the storm and he started to sink. And who did he cry out to? He said, save me, Lord. And Jesus saved him. If you are walking on the water today because God called you to do something, but you feel like you're sinking, perhaps, maybe, possibly, you're looking at the waves. You're looking at the storm instead of looking at the Savior. Perhaps that's why you're sinking or feel like you're sinking. Ephesians 6, Verse 16, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Satan is the evil one, and he is shooting darts. He's shooting darts at this church. He's trying to extinguish this church. And if we don't take it seriously and pick up our shield of faith, he'll beat us down. We need to pray. We need to act. We need to trust God. But we need to be active. Because Satan, he wants us, doesn't he? That's why the Bible says that we need to pick up our shield of faith and move forward on the attack. Listen, a shield goes on your front, right? What does that mean? If we have a shield that goes on our front, that means God wants us to go forward, right? You don't put a shield on your back unless you're running away. But we got a shield that goes in front of us so that we can go on the attack, so we can push forward. Amen? Number three, we lie down while God stands up for us. I like this one. Back to our key verse, Psalm 3, verses 5 and 6. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. David slept in perfect peace. He was being attacked by thousands, but he was not afraid. He went to sleep in the middle of an attack. He was that peaceful. The devil was trying to tell him, I'm going to get your kingdom. I'm going to take everything away from you. I'm going to get the victory. And he said, I'm going to lay down and take a nap while God does my work for me. I'm going to get some rest so my strength will be up in the morning. Faith enables us to rest both physically and mentally. How many of you guys need faith right now to get you through something? Because you feel exhausted. You feel exhausted mentally and you feel exhausted physically. Faith will bring that up for you. Faith will take care of that for you. Trust me on this. Better yet, trust God. If you find yourself physically and mentally drained, Satan is messing with you, and he's trying to keep you from your victory. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Christ says, I will give you rest. You don't get rest because of your own abilities, your own resources. You get rest because Jesus will calm your storm. Now listen, you can have the victory, but you don't have the peace. You haven't won anything. When you're going through something and you're nervous all the time and you're worried and you're upset, that's not faith. Even if you're winning, even if God is getting you through and you still got a queasy stomach all the time and you're nervous all the time and you can't think and you're exhausted and you're worried, that's not victory. That's not resting in Christ. Resting in the Lord does not mean that you do nothing. Resting in the Lord means that you are trusting in God. Okay? But rather we trust in him and obey him as he guides us. We are at peace knowing he can be trusted. Now I'm going to tell you something. If you don't trust God, you will not do what God tells you to do. And if you don't do what God tells you to do, you will not walk into a blessing. You'll be listening to yourself, the devil, or both. But if you start trusting in God, you will do what he tells you to do. You will do what he, and that's resting in God. That's, oh, I believe you, Lord, and I will do it. I will read your holy word because you tell me that that's what I'm supposed to do. I will pray to you because that is what you tell me to do. I will trust in you because that is what you tell me to do. When you start listening to God, you're on the right path. And you'll feel a peace come over you. When you start doing something that you're not supposed to be doing, that peace will leave you. That peace will leave you. You'll start feeling nervous. when you start stepping out of the will of God. Enemies will start coming up against you and start getting the victory when you start disobeying God, because you're off track with him. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." First of all, it says that God will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on him. So what's the trick here? You got to keep your mind on God. But you also got to trust in him, because he trusts in you. That's why your mind would be on God. Now, your mind could be on something, but it's not always because you trust in it. Some people believe that God is, I'm always thinking about how God's going to zap me any minute. Some people think that. God's watching me to make a mistake, and as soon as I make it, he's going to nail me for it. Well, that's not trust. Some people think that way about God. But Isaiah says that God will keep in perfect peace those whose mind is stayed on him because they trust in him. Now, I think about God all the time because I'm trusting God all the time. I'm thinking about God all the time because I love God. I want to see the blessings of God in my life. I want to see the rewards from God in my life. I want rewards, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to be rewarded by God. The Bible teaches that we should be looking out for our rewards and our blessings, because it pleases God to bless us. Satan, there's that guy again, would have your mind on your problems in order to cause you more tension. Life is so hard. It's never going to get any better. I can't stand my coworkers and my enemies beating me down, and I'm poor. I'm always going to be poor. Problems, problems, problems. Now my neck's starting to hurt. I'm getting these hives. Oh, now I'm getting sick. Oh, on top of everything else. Oh. And that's how he does it. He just keeps talking to you. Nobody loves you. Life is never going to get any better. Oh, now you're sick. Look at your neck hurts. You've injured your neck. Your neck is broken. There's something wrong with your joints. Your back is hurting. You can't get out of bed. You're going to lose your job. You can't go to work today. It goes on and on and on as you get into this roller coaster of thought. And that thought brings tension. That thought brings disobedience to God, because he doesn't want you thinking stuff out of faith. Your thoughts betray you. Your thoughts start betraying you. Satan gets into them. And once he gets into your thoughts, he can start manipulating you. That's why we have to renew our minds with the Word of God. For when we stand still, God goes forth. Again, our key verse, Psalm 3, verses 7 and 8 says, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people." Many times we hinder God's response to our needs simply because we are too busy trying to fix it ourselves. We need to trust him instead. Instead of running to the telephone, we need to be running to the king's throne. We need to be laying it down first and foremost to him and saying, "God, I can't do anything about this. I need you to guide me. I need you to help me. I trust that you're going to show up what I need you to show up, that you're going to take care of me. Tell me what I must do." Often, God will just tell you to praise him. Just worship. That's why worship is so important at church. The reason why God wants to take care of your life is so that you are free to worship him. The reason why God wants to guide you through your problems is so that you are free to worship him. Often we're thinking, what can I do to repay God? What can I do to work for God? And God says, worship me, praise me, love me, spend time with me. The reason why I'm taking care of your life is so that you have all this free time to come be with me. But we neglect that because we think that we have to work our way to God. We have to work a blessing out of him. We can get into that mindset even as Christians. We can fall into that. If I don't do better, God is not going to approve. If I don't try to do something to help myself, God is not going to help me. After all, God only helps those who help themselves. That is a lie. The Bible doesn't teach that. Now, it is true that when God tells you to do something, you should do it. That's his guidance. When God says evangelize, you should evangelize. When God says outreach for your church, you should outreach for your church. When the Lord says that you should love your enemies, you should love your enemies. It can be even harder when you don't love your enemies. It can cause tension. That's right. So many times we hinder God's response to our needs simply because we are too busy trying to fix it ourselves. We need to trust in him instead. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." See, understand that when you try to take care of your own problem, you're really trying to get the glory. Whew, I fixed that one. See, I'm smart. I knew I could handle this. You know, God wants the glory. And God wants the glory so that the other people can see that he cared about you enough to get you out of the mess you caused. So that other people will come to him so he can rescue them as well. God wants to rescue people. Oftentimes, he's rescuing them from themselves. We cause so many problems for ourselves, it's not even funny. And then, when bad stuff happens, we blame other people. We even sometimes blame God. Rarely do we look in the mirror and say, "Wait a minute, I think I had something to do with this. I think my big mouth was running off too much. I think I was talking a little bit too much. Maybe I said some things to people I shouldn't have said. Maybe I did some things to some people I shouldn't have did things to. Maybe I treated people the wrong way. Maybe my attitude stinks. Maybe it's me, instead of them. Right? So we need to be still and know who God is. We need to sit still and let him be God. Quit trying to fix everything and fix everybody. I hate it when people try to fix me. I can't even fix me. I know I'm broken. I know I got flaws, but I know that God ain't done with me yet either. So I'm going to be still and know that he's God. God does not want us to move in any direction until he gives us direction. We get a problem and we immediately run out and try to fix it. Oh, I know what I got to do. I got to go beat them up for treating me that way. I'm going to turn everybody against them. I'm going to call everybody up and slander them. So listen, when we get angry, we don't want to move until God tells us to move. When we get hurt, we don't want to move until God tells us to move. When we get into trouble, we don't want to move until God tells us what and when to move and where to move. Often when God tells us to be still, he means for us to be at peace, not to fret, not to panic, not to act rashly. Mark 4:39 says, "And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased and there was a great calm." Listen, when Jesus calmed that storm on the sea, and he said, "Peace, be still," he could have very easily been talking to the disciples too. He could have been telling them, "Listen, peace, be still. Don't get all worked up. No matter how you feel about a problem, your feelings aren't going to change the circumstance. Unless you act on your feelings irrationally without faith out of the word of God. When your feelings get all worked up, you could do things that God told you not to do. You could just rush into something that you shouldn't be rushing into, making decisions you shouldn't be making because your feelings are involved. No matter what the cause of your tension, God is the remedy. Trust in him, call on him, and obey him as you rest in him. Can we all say this together? When your mind is on your problems, it's off of God. When your mind is off of God, you're not praising. You're not reading the Bible. You're not trusting. You don't have faith. You're not worshiping. Satan is winning. He's laughing. I got you to stop thinking about God. I got you separated from God. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to hell. Doesn't mean you lost your salvation. It means you lost your peace. It means you lost your fellowship peace with God because you are not focusing on Him in the relationship. When you're not focusing on Him, all the other things become amplified.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.